Can everybody hear me now? Now we're good? Thumbs up and we're good? Okay, great. Okay, sorry for a little bit of the technical difficulties. We'll try to be mashlim in terms of the tochen of the shiur. So tonight's sugya is a sugya that came about from a halach l'maisa shayla that was actually asked to me. It was actually asked to me twice. And different times. The Shaila is related to Parshas Pinchas. That's why I decided to talk about it now. It has to do with a Sefer Torah that you realize in the middle of Kriyas Torah, one of the letters is split. Now, some of you may be wondering, wait a second, why is the rabbi talking about this Parshas Pinchas? Everybody knows that this is the only place in the Sefer Torah where a letter is actually supposed to be split. That is the Vav in Esprisi Shalom, the beginning of Parshas Pinchas. So one of the letters in the Sefer Torah is actually, we have a tradition, is actually supposed to be, sorry, just have to move the screen for a second. Is actually supposed to be split. So that's clearly not the letter that I'm talking about. What I'm talking about is the following, that I was once laning in Precious Pinchas. Actually, I'm sorry, I wasn't actually laning. I was in the shul at the time. Somebody else was laning. I was in the shul at the time. I happened not to have been the Rav at the time. I'll share with you some of the background a little bit later on. Some of the people from Paramus will get an extra special kick out of the story. But it happened to have been that I was visiting somewhere else for a Shabbos, and the Shaila came up in the middle of the Parsha that there was a split in one of the letters in the Sefer Torah. And the rabbi at the time turned to me and asked me, what do I think? What do you do? Do you just ignore the split in the letter? Can you keep on laning, go weiter? Or do you have to stop and take out an entire new Sefer Torah? And if you have to take out a Sefer Torah, do you stop at the beginning of laning? Do you stop continue from where you left off in laning? So a whole array of different shailas that came up in terms of Hilchas Kriyas HaTorah and Hilchas Sefer Torah that were all started by this one little split in the letter of the Sefer Torah. So I want to take a step back and try to learn through the sugyas of mistakes in the Sefer Torah, particularly the issues of split letters in the Sefer Torah, which is a fairly common problem that does occur, especially in older Svarim. And then try to see how this touched on us, halacha l'maisa, and then I'll share with you somewhat of a quasi-humorous, strange story that was the end of this entire sipur. So let's go back to the very, very beginning, the first of the Mamakomos, where the entire source for problems in letters appears in Chazal, and actually the sugya is not even talking about Sefer Torah. The sugya happens to actually be talking about mezuzah. There is an identical sugya that talks about tefillin as well. And at least for now, we're going to extrapolate for whatever the halacha is vis-a-vis letters in the mezuzah, a true vis-a-vis letters in tefillin, and a true also concerning letters in the Sefer Torah. So let's take a look at the first of the Mamakomos. Shtei parshio shem mezuzah ma'akva zuazu v'afilu ksavecha ma'akva. This is a quote from the Mishnah Maseches Menachos, that the two parshios that are written in the mezuzah, the parsha Shmoa, are ma'akvos one another. Namely, if either one of the parshios are missing, and the entire mitzvah is not fulfilled. Sometimes the halacha tells us that there are different components, different physical components that make up a particular chefetz shel mitzvah. Sometimes each of the components are absolutely critical, and if one of the components is lacking, the entire mitzvah is thrown off. And sometimes not. Sometimes l'chatchila you have to have different parts of the mitzvah, but the evidence would be acceptable without them. Just as an example, let's say the mitzvah valid minim. So the mitzvah of taking a lulav and esrog and sukkos, if a person doesn't have one of the minim, so then you're not yet to the mitzvah. You really gain nothing by taking three out of the four minim. The mitzvah is to take all four, the lulav minim ma'akva zuazu. When it comes to the mitzvah of tzitzis, there's actually a machlekes hatanoim, but the different components of tzitzis are ma'akvos one another. Let's say a person only has white strings and doesn't have tcheles. So is it worth it to even put on the white strings? Or is he really just wasting his time? So we passed in Allah, Baruch Hashem, we can read the sigh of relief. We passed in Allah that the tchelis is not ma'akev the lover. One can still be yaitse, at least partially the mitzvah of tzitzis, without tchelis. There was one tana, there was the opinion that the tchelis is actually ma'akev, but without tchelis, you're not yaitse. But again, Shukrach, we don't follow that view. So some mitzvahs, the different components are ma'akvos, and other mitzvahs not. So when it comes to mezuzah, the Mishnah is very clear that both parshios are ma'akvos one another. And then the Mishnah goes one step further and says, "Afilu ksavecha ma'akvon." Even one letter is ma'akev. So if you have an entire mezuzah and you're missing one letter, So the whole mezuzah is bottle mevutal. Asks the Gemara Kshita. The Gemara says that is obvious. If the Torah says uchsaf tam a mezuzah b'sechem isharecha, uchsaf tam is referring to the two parashiyos of mezuzah, because each time it says the phrase uchsaf tam is a different parashiyah of mezuzah. So the Torah is saying you have to write this unit, this entity. If I'm missing a letter, so that's not the parashiyah of mezuzah. The Gemara says, I don't need a mishnah to tell me that. I could have figured it out on my own. The Gemara says, you're right. I'm Rabbi the Merav, nitzucha el lekutza shel yud. Then the Gemara, if you're totally missing a letter, then I would know on my own that the mezuzah is psula min haTorah. The chiddush of the mishnah is that you're not missing a total letter. You're missing a very, very small part of the letter. And the Gemara truthfully could have picked any small part of any one of the different letters of the Aleph Beis. The Gemara quoted the biggest chiddush, the kutza shel yud. Yud is the smallest letter in the Aleph Beis. And the kutza shel yud is the tiniest, tiniest part of the yud. It's actually a three-ray machlokes rishonim, what the kutz is. Kutz is some kind of a point of the yud. Either it's the right leg, or it's the left leg, or it's the top left crown of the yud. So if you take a look at the tzur of a yud in the Sefer Torah, you'll see that Asavit Torah, hopefully have all three of them there. So there's machlokes rishonim, which one of those is the one that the Gemara is referring to. But the bottom line is that the chiddush of the mishnah is that even though all the letters are written properly, and even the yud is basically there, but it's just missing a little mash from the shayud that also invalidates the entire mezuzah on a level of deraisa. The Gemara says, "Nah, banami pshita." The Gemara says, "I don't need a mishnah for that either, because if you really believe that lacking a kutzah shayud is nishkin yud, it's not a yud, so then that's tantamount to the letter being missing. If the letter is missing, so then." One, once again, doesn't have a complete mezuzah, so it's obvious that the mezuzah is psula. So we're back to square one. We have a mishnah that tells us that missing a letter is a problem, but we don't know why we need the mishnah for. If the whole letter is missing, obvious, and even a part of the letter is missing, obvious, it must be right. It's coming to tell me another statement of Rav Yehuda Merav. The Yom Rav Yehuda Merav, kol o she'en v'il mukaf l'mi'aruch ha'seh psula. All the letters are there. Every single part of every single letter is there. The only thing is that some of the letters are not surrounded by cloth. They're not surrounded by parchment. One of the letters is not what's called mukaf gvil. That's a serious problem. So here, we need a mishnah to tell me that even though the letters are there, each letter is intact, and each letter is written properly, independently, but since the letters are touching one another, you have what we call a nikiyah and a sefer Torah. You have two letters touching one another. That's a deficiency of being mukaf gvil, gvil means klaf. And anytime you have a letter that's not surrounded by klaf on all four sides, is psula. That's the chiddush of the Mishnah. So there are basically three halachas that emanate from this Mishnah. Number one is that every letter must be there. Number two, every part of every letter must be there. And number three, even if every part of every letter is there, but two letters are too close for comfort, they're touching one another, any one of the above disqualifies the entire mezuzah min haTorah, and the Gemara has the identical sugya vis-a-vis tefillin, and presumably this should carry off for sefer Torah as well. The Gemara in Masechet Shabbos, Daf Kuf Gimel, those were in Daf Yomi, which was just a couple of weeks ago, adds on a little bit to this. The Gemara tells us, uchsavtam in the second Emor Mekamos, uchsavtam should take siva tama, that we derive from the phrase uchsavtam, that the not only must the letters be there, but they have to be tama, they have to be perfect. What does that mean? Shlo yichtov alfen einen, einen alfen beizim, kofen kofen beizim. The Braisa gives us two examples. Actually, the Braisa gives us a few more, but we cut it off at this point. There are two different examples that the Braisa gives, which are confusion of letters. One would have thought, let's say I have to write an aleph, I have to write a shem l'ked, a shem echad. I would think, what's the difference whether I spell the word echad with an aleph or I spell it with an ayin? It's all pronounced the same way, give or take. So comes in and says, no, you're not allowed to do that. Even though technically you can read the word echad with an aleph with an ayin, but one is correct and one is incorrect. And therefore we derive from the phrase of saftam shetek sibatama that it is not enough simply to have the proper pronunciation of the words, but you have to actually have the right letters there as well. And then number two, the second halacha learned out from saftam sibatama, that if you're supposed to write a beis, you can't write a chaf. Now, one would have thought, what's the difference between a beis and a chaf? They're so close to one another. A beis is a little bit squared off on top. A chaf is a little rounder. They're almost the identical letters. So comes and says, no. If the letter looks, it resembles another letter, that's a huge problem. And then the Gemara goes on to explain that if you're supposed to write a vav and you write a yud, that's a disaster. You're supposed to write a zayin and you write a nun sofit, that's a disaster. those letters that resemble one another, you have to be extra specially careful not to write the letter in a way that it gives off the wrong impression. And if it's not easily recognizable as the correct letter, even though it's pretty close, that will disqualify the entire tefillah, mezuzah, sefer Torah, etc. So we have a whole series of halachas, what we call halachas stam, stam sefer, sefer Torah, tefillah, mezuzah, that these two sugyas, the sugya menachas and the sugya Shabbos, make up the background to the basic halachas of sefer Torah, tefillah, mezuzah, that once again, every letter has to be there. No letter can resemble a different letter. Every letter has to have every part of the letter written properly, and no letters can touch one another. These are all included, all covered by the dinim of Ksiva Sefer Torah Tefillah Mezuzah. These are all, again, psulim on a level of deraisa. So with this background now, the Gemara goes one step further and raises the question, how do you identify whether any given letter looks like a different letter? Sometimes it's obvious, and sometimes it's not so obvious. We've all been in shul, in the middle of that Kriyas HaTorah, the worst thing you want to happen in the middle of Kriyas HaTorah is all of a sudden the Baal Kareh comes to a halt. He stops dead in his tracks, and then he usually calls to the bullpen. He calls the rabbi to come over. You know there's trouble. Then what inevitably happens is the rabbi takes off his glasses, he bends down, there's that consultation between the rabbi and the Baal Kareh, they're looking, and they're trying to figure out, is this letter kosher or not? Well, how do you figure that out? If the letter's missing, then it's obvious. If the letter's missing, let's say the kutsu, whatever that means, then it's obvious. If the letters are touching, then it's obvious. So why the great huddle at the Bima? What are they possibly looking for? So sometimes you have a situation where it's not clear whether a given letter looks like the proper letter or resembles another letter. If you have a Vav, and the cipher was a little bit careless with the ink, and he made the Vav a little tiny drop too short, he may have made a yud. But vice versa, he was supposed to write a yud and he may have added a little drop of ink and he made it just a drop too long, he may have made a vav. Well, how do you know? If you get 10 people up there, you'll get 5 and 5 people say it looks like a vav, 5 people say it looks like a yud. How do you know exactly? Again, sometimes it's very clear and sometimes it's not. So that's what the Gemara tells us in the third of the Ma'amar Kumas. The Gemara Menachas Chavtes and Beis tells us the very, very famous halacha. Rami bar Tamri du chamua de Rami bar Dikulei. If Sugale Kara Devav, the Vayaharog Benikva, that in his tefillin, the word Vayaharog, there was a problem in the leg of the Vav, that there was a little bit of a hole, and it was hard to tell that it still looked like a Vav, or it had gotten too small, that maybe it was already looked like a Yud. It's also the Kamid Rabbi Zeir. They came to Rabbi Zeir and asked him, Paskin the Shaila, is this a Vav? Is the tefillin kosher? Are they possible? Rabbi Zeir said, go bring a child who's not too smart and not too much for tipesh, not too foolish. He's okay. He's not the top of the class. On the other hand, he's doing all right. He korle vayaro kosher. Ilo yeharegu apostle. And asked the little child for his opinion on the matter. If he pronounced it in the right way, he says, that looks like a vav vayaro, then the tefillin are good. And if he says yehareg, instead of vayarog, he says a yud instead of a vav, so then you know you're in trouble. Shia, what's called kriyas tinoik. So we call in the child to tell us what his opinion is. There's a lot of longness, how the shia, how chazal know the shia, etc. That's the bottom line, that's the din that chazal used, that's the barometer to measure. If it passes the test of kriyas tinoik, then it's going to be acceptable. Tosis on the spot actually points out that Krios Tinok is used not only in Hilchos Sefer Torah Tefillah Mezuzahs, it's actually used in Hilchos Gittin as well. If there's a question about a certain letter on a get, so if it passes the test of a Tinok, so then it's a right Tinok, the postman says, means around 6, 7 years old. Kid already knows how to read, but he's not so proficient in reading. So that's called a Krios Tinok. So Tosis quotes that the same halacha carries over to a get as well. So the first time I was ever introduced to this halacha was when I was a child, around the age of 6 to 7 or so. So I remember that my mother came into my room, I was playing, and she said to me, the Rav who lived across the street, the rabbi needs you to come right away to come to his house. Wow, I had no idea what the rabbi could. It was a Sunday afternoon. I was probably watching a baseball game, and all of a sudden the rabbi needed me. So I don't remember much about that event, but I remember that my mother made me put on a white shirt for the occasion. That was like the old style, like the rabbi called on a Sunday. Can go to the rabbi's house, walking around in shorts and a polo shirt. It's like unheard of. So I remember getting dressed up to go, and we went across the street, And I don't remember exactly what was going on, but I still have that image. Again, you're talking about this was almost 50 years ago. I remember that image in my mind of the Rav was sitting there. And I remember there was a woman sitting next to the Rebbetzin at the time. And there were a couple of men around. And they called me into the shul, inner part of the shul. And they said to me, please read this word, read this letter for us. What letter do you think this is? And I realized years later that it was obviously a get that was taking place, and they had called me to read the letter. So I don't remember what the letter was. I must have given the right answer, but I think they gave me like a lollipop afterwards to thank me, and everyone seemed to have been relieved that I gave apparently the right answer. So that was my first opportunity to pass Kishan Aruch Gittin. So that was at the ripe old age of approximately six. So bottom line, the halacha is that Kriyas Tinok is a vehicle that we use primarily in Tzibetar Tzvon Mezuzos, and again, every once in a while, other areas of halacha as well. So you have to be very, very careful when you deal with the sugya Kriyas Tinok, something that the Shulchan Aruch tells us in the fourth of the Ramah Kamos. Nifsak achas ve'aisiyas. If you have a crack in one letter, Hagodr mo'edon kigo hapshutos, the straight letters can go on vav, zayin, or nifsak, regel, anun, v'chiyatziboy. So the Shulchan Aruch quotes right out of the Gemara, that bring in the little child to read it. If he identifies to read it properly, then it's okay. If not possible, if not, that's possible. It is not necessary to cover up all the other letters in the Sefer Torah. Just look at this letter. You don't have to make a whole to-do. Just tell him this is what we're up to. Read this letter in Gemara. So comes the Mishnah Berurah, skip down to the fifth of the Ramah Kamos. Mishnah Berurah quotes a critical Taz that sets the stage for our sugya. So I am the Taz, Shekosav. The Hach the Nifsak, this sugya that the Shulchan Aruch is quoting based on the Gemara, that there's a crack in a letter. Let's say you have a Vav, there's a crack in a letter. Or you have a Nun Sofit, there's a crack in a letter. What that means is as follows. My Rish, Nifsak Tzas, Me'orech Ha'os L'mata L'gamrei. That means there's no ink left over from the crack on any part of the letter is faded, part of the letter is cracked, and there's nothing left on the bottom. The only part that's here is the little bit of the letter that's above where it started to crack. As told him, then you bring in a child. Then you ask the child for his opinion. Aval says the Taz, you have to be very, very careful of the following happens. About a nishtaya gam lamatam in a hefsek. What if you have, let's say, for example, you have a vav, and the top part of the vav is intact, and the bottom part of the vav is intact, but there's a crack in the middle. The haynu shenase a hefsek berochva shel regular os. V'yachar a hefsek nisha ol lamata chelek min a regel. Bazeh says the Taz, if that's what you have, if you have a crack, a right smack in the middle, and the bottom ink's there, the top ink's there, lo moil tinok. The tinok's not going to help you. You know why? The tinok yitzarif mashalamatim in metal chelke elyon. The tinok's going to look at the letter. He's not going to care this little crack. He knows this is a vav. He doesn't think, oh, there's a crack in the vav, so therefore it's not mitzarif. He's going to think erroneously, mistakenly, says the Taz, that the bottom and the top are one letter. Well, the MS ain't not tzarif. And the MS is that it's not mitzarif yachad. Is that doima nisik regular? That like regular aleph? That's like part of a letter. Lagami missing. Alatzorach lechasos es chelik hanisha achar hefsek. What you have to do is, if you want to bring in the child to test the letter, you have to cover over the bottom part of the letter, because if the child looks at the top and the bottom together, he's going to erroneously declare the letter to be kosher. What did the Taz just tell us about that? The Taz just told us a gevaldik din, a gevaldik chiddush in hilchas ksivas osius. If I have a letter and the letter looks like a vav, or I have a letter, it looks like a nun sofit. The only problem is there's a split in the middle. There's a crack in the middle. That letter is puzzle. It doesn't matter what it looks like. It doesn't matter what it reads like. It doesn't matter what the child says. If that letter has a split in the middle, that letter is puzzle because two parts of an os are not mitzurif yachad. That's what the Taz just told us. So therefore, the child test only makes sense when there's nothing beneath the space. I have a little bit of a letter on top, and then I have blank on the bottom. Then it makes sense. Bring in the child. Because of the vav, it's great. But if you're going to bring in a child for a vav that has half a vav on top and half a vav on the bottom, he's going to erroneously call it a vav, and the halach is that's not acceptable. How did the Taz know that to be true? So this is based already on earlier sources that the Beis Yosef quotes. There's a cloud God with Osios. Every letter must be one unit. You cannot have a split in a letter. Not only because it doesn't look like the letter. Even if it does look like the letter. Even if the child says it looks identical to the letter. The child reads it as a regular vav. There's a din in Hilchas Ksivas Osios. Every letter must be a one unit. There are only two letters that are not one unit. That's a hey and a kuf. And the naf, you're not supposed to be one unit. But all other letters of the alphabet must be connected in all pieces and all sides. So this is a brand new din. This doesn't appear in the Gemara explicitly. This is a chiddush that appears in Rishayim, that the Taz quotes, that the Mishnah Berurah quotes, the Halacha, that there's a klal gadol in Hilchas Ksivas Osios, that it has to be one chativa, it has to be one unit. What's the source for this idea? Probably, this is what's called a Ksiva Tama, that if you have something missing, if there's a break in something, you can't be mitzarif, you can't join together two pieces of the puzzle, that's considered to be a lack of Ksiva Tama. So this is the halacha that doesn't appear in the Gemara explicitly. It appears in earlier poskim, it appears in the Beis Yosef, it appears in the Taz, it appears in the Mishnah Berurah. There's a chayt lo yav, no matter what the letter is called and read by any child whatsoever, if it's split, it's history. Cannot be accepted, no matter what. But then if you take a look at the end of the fifth in Ramakobos, the Mishnah Berurah, in a bracket, makes the following ha'ara. The lo kamosh yakosu b'seif yishuas Yaakov lahokil, Kishitas Hama'iri. Says the Mishnah Berurah, what I just told you is unlike what appears in one of the Acharonim Mishus Yaakov, who was willing to be lenient to follow the Me'iri's view. Who Me'iri? What did the Me'iri say? There is a Me'iri that says, Me'iri was one of the Mishayim already. The Me'iri says that there is no such halacha, that a letter has to be one unit. The halacha is a letter has to be legible, it has to be readable, but it need not be one unit. So comes the Mishnah Berurah and says, we don't follow this Me'iri. Finished. Against Nimim Pugam the Taz, Paskin against the Niri, we don't follow the Niri's view. So this is a Redi Machlaikis, the Mishan, Redi Machlaikis at Poskim. We learned, when we started off the Sugi, we learned there are so many halachas that are ma'akfos and ksivas in the Torah. One is every letter has to be there. Number two is every part of every letter has to be there. Number three, no letter can touch one another. Number four, no letter can resemble another letter. Is there a fifth halacha called every letter has to be one unit? Or there is no such halacha. So that's the machlokes the Me'iri and others. Me'iri claims there is no such halacha, and Mishnah Berurah is quoting other poskim who are saying there very much is such halacha, and that would concern us even on the level of deraisa. Now, when we have a pair of tefillin and we have a mezuzah, nobody today is going to say, "Oh, no problem. We're going to rely on the Me'iri and call it a day and put on tefillin for the rest of our lives based on tefillin that have cracks and letters." We would never ever do such a thing. But do we have a right to say when it comes to Hilchos Kriyas HaTorah that maybe we can look at Kriyas HaTorah through a little bit more lenient eyes than Hilchos Tefillin and Mezuzah? What would lead us to believe that maybe we could be a little bit more lenient to look at a Sefer Torah differently than we would look at Tefillin and Mezuzahs? So maybe one could argue that Tefillin and Mezuzahs is a real mitzvah deraisa. Kriyas HaTorah is most probably only a mitzvah derabbanan. Earlier on in the year, some of you may remember, we spoke a couple of months ago already about what the nature of the mitzvah Kriyas HaTorah is on Shabbos and Yom Tov, deraisa, derabbanan. But according to most opinions, we call Kriyas HaTorah for sure on Mondays and Thursdays, and according to many, even on Shabbos, Kriyas HaTorah is really only a mitzvah derabbanan. Maybe one can argue that for the mitzvah derabbanan of Kriyas HaTorah, maybe the Sefer Torah doesn't have to be, maybe the Sefer Torah doesn't have to be perfect. Maybe we have a right to say that even a Sefer Torah that's a little bit more lenient, maybe would be acceptable for laning purposes. Do we say that or not? So if we take a look at the sixth of the Mamakamos, so the Rambam doesn't say that. The Rambam in the sixth of the Mamakamos writes, Nimtzas lomid, she'esrim devarim hein. There are 20 different halachas, she'bechol echem yen pesel Sefer Torah. There are 20 different possible things that can go wrong in the writing of a Sefer Torah that can completely disqualify the Sefer Torah. Some of these refer to the letters, some of them refer to the cloth, some refer to the dyo, to the ink. Many, many different problems refer to the Sefer. Many, many things can go wrong in a Torah. V'imnasim o'echem yem, any one of these mistakes happen, harei ha'chumash v'rechumashim, it doesn't have the status of the Sefer Torah. It's like any other chumash, like a printed Sefer, so to speak. Shemalam demenetinoik, is that children could use to read from. The aim book k'dush Sefer Torah doesn't have any of the halachas of Sefer Torah. And here's the point that's critical for us, the inkarim v'rechumashim. You cannot lean with it. You cannot lean with it in its sibur. You cannot fulfill the mitzvah Kriyas HaTorah with a Sefer Torah that has anything wrong with it. What's an example of one of the 20 things that's wrong? So we skipped a few dots, but the Rambam continues. One of the examples of psulim in a sefer Torah is shenifshi betzuras osachas. There's a mistake in the letter. Atzloti kari kolika. You can't read it. Otenam lo osacheres. It looks like another letter. Bein bikraksiva, bein benekia, bein bekerem, bein betishtosh. It doesn't matter whether it was formed incorrectly. It doesn't matter whether it has a hole in it. It doesn't matter whether it has a rip in it, a tear. Anything that disqualifies a letter will disqualify the entire mitzvah of Torah. So the Rambam is very, very clear that the standards of Kriyas HaTorah are, it must be 1,000% kosher. Every letter from Bereishis to the Zayis HaBracha has to be Kedas V'Chadin, the same way that the Sugya tells us that every letter of the Mezuzah has to be perfect, and every letter of the Tefillin has to be perfect, every letter of the Sefer has to be perfect as well, or else you can't learn from it. That's the Shita Sivam. So truth to be told, not everybody agrees to the Rambam on this, and actually, strangely enough, the Bar Plukta, the one who disagrees with the Rambam, is the Rambam himself. It's the Rambam and Tshuva Sarambam. The Rambam, in addition to Mishnah Torah and Perashat Mishnayos and Marivuchim, Sefer Mitzvahs, the Rambam also wrote Tshuvas. So there's a Tshuva Sarambam that the Rambam writes, quoting opinions that maintain that Kriyas HaTorah, since it's only Midrabanan, one need not have a perfectly kosher Sefer Torah. You can have a few letters here and there missing. If three quarters of the letters missing, obviously it's not a Sefer Torah. But if you have a letter here, a letter there, here, a letter touching here, a letter missing here, a letter looks like another letter here. Nishka Frelach, you can still lay in Kriyas HaTorah, it's only Midrabanan anyway. So it's interesting, what do you do with that almost contradiction in the Rambam? The Rambam and the Tshuva quotes the lenient position that there is no absolute objective standard of a kosher Sefer Torah for Kriyas HaTorah. But the Rambam Mishnah Torah clearly rejects that. It's generally assumed that the Rambam backed down from what he wrote in the Tshuvas. But the Rambam writes in Mishnah Torah was his final word. That was his real, real Pesach Halach. The Rambam lived for many, many years. So he wrote different Tshuvas, a different period in his lifetime. So it's very possible that the Rambam changed his mind on this one. But it's generally accepted in Halach what it says in Mishnah Torah is the final word, Pesach Halach. So the Rambam's view is generally speaking accepted to be a Sefer Torah must be perfect in order to lane. But in the back of our minds, we always know that the Rambam in the Tshuva disagreed, and there were those who really disagreed with Halacha, who actually disagreed with the Rambam. So therefore, we have a general approach in Hilchos Kriyas HaTorah, which runs as follows, that we're not going to actually get up and lane from a Pesach Sefer Torah. If we know that the Sefer Torah is missing a letter, the letters are touching, if there's something really, really wrong with the Sefer Torah, we are not going to get up and lane from the Sefer Torah. However, if we lane from the Sefer Torah, and we now find a mistake in the Sefer Torah, in the middle of laning, we're after laning. So our attitude is as follows. That b'di'evet, whatever we laned is good. We don't have to bother laning over again. And we can just rely b'di'evet on those shittas that say that a Sefer Torah, even if it's possible, is still good enough for Kriyas HaTorah. So we take this almost like split attitude about just how kosher must that Sefer Torah be for the purposes of Kriyas HaTorah. Must they be perfect? L'chadchila, yes, b'di'evet, no. Because we're taking a little bit of lenient attitude towards Kriyas HaTorah, we have to place by the following rule. But when are we going to put away a Sefer Torah and switch it, take out another Sefer Torah? That's there's a clear, blatant mistake. Something that's a mistake with Choladeus. It's mamish missing a letter. There's something really drastically wrong. So then you have no choice. Then you have to put away the Sefer Torah and take out a new one and continue from that point. But if there's any shailin, any machloikis in the poskim, whether a particular letter is kosher or not, so we call it like a shtickle sfeik sfeik. Maybe the letter's kosher the way it is, and maybe it's not. And even if it's Lama, that's possible, or maybe I can learn from a Pesach Sefer Torah anyway. So that's a general pismo in the Gedolia Poskim, Rufus Kriyas HaTorah, that real, real psulim, that are outright 100% psulim, the letter's mamish missing, then we have no choice, we have to put it away, take out another Sefer Torah. But anytime there's a letter that says something about a certain kashrus of a letter, so we're going to be night there, Mahokdel, based on this quasi-sfake-sfake, maybe the letter's kosher the way it is. And even if it's possible, well, maybe the Sefer Torah doesn't have to actually be 100% kosher for Kriyas HaTorah purposes. That's the general approach that we take in Hilchos Kriyas HaTorah. So when this particular shaila came to me 20 years ago or so, I'm standing there in shul, and the rabbi calls me over and wants to know there's a crack in a vav in Parshas Pinchas. Now, it wasn't the crack that's supposed to be. It wasn't in Prisi Shol. If you would have asked me that shaila, I would have said, that's supposed to be crap. There was a vav tucked away in the end of some of the middle of Parshas Pinchas. So he wanted to know, Gevalt, what's the story? Can we continue to lay it? Do we have to take another Sefer Torah? So I'll share with you what my thought process was. So I thought at the time that it's not so poshut that this vav is possible. And I'll tell you why. If you look at the Vav, and you can have a child take a look at it for you if you're more comfortable with that, it looks like a Vav. No one's going to think it's a Yud. Everyone realizes it's a Vav. Elohim, but it's not one unit. As we said before, it's not one entity, it's not one piece. Is that a problem, objectively or not? So according to the Taz and the Mishnah Berurah and the Beis Paiskim, yeah, that's a problem. A letter that even though it looks like the right letter, but if it's not connected, whatever's not connected is Kaman Beleisa. According to those Paiskim, the Sefer is outright possible. But there was a dissenting view. Who was the dissenting view? The Me'iri that made it into a bracket in the Mishnah Berurah. The Mishnah Berurah said, nah, forget it. Don't rely on the Me'iri. The Mishnah Berurah is in Simon Lamed Beis and Rechaim Nuchos Tefillin. Mishnah Berurah is saying, don't put on tefillin for the rest of your life based on the Me'iri. But vis-a-vis Kriya Satoira, so it dawned on me, you know what? Vis-a-vis Kriya Satoira, maybe it should be okay. Maybe we can apply the rule that the post can tell us that since we're not even sure we need a Kosher Sefer Torah for Kriya Satoira anyway, and we're not 100% sure that this letter with the crack is possible, because it does look like the Vav, so it's totally on the Machlekes and the Iri and the others. Maybe it's acceptable, instead of embarrassing the Sefer Torah and making a Tichet Tzibur, maybe just continue laning based on this judgment. So the Yemen says that this was not my idea. Already Gedalia Boskim, already the last generation, it's quoted from a Moshe, quoted from Yaakov Kamenetsky, this psak that splits in letters in Sefer Torah, which is a fairly common problem. Again, in old Sefer Torah, it's a very, very common problem, where the ink starts to fade a little bit and the letters start to crack a little bit. So even though we really don't like to be mitzaref in the sense of parts of the letters, but that's a machlekes, and for Hilchos Kriyas Torah purposes, so we will permit you to continue laning and not be madriach and make a whole to-do and show to put away the Sefer Torah, take a new one, all of Malagan, to be vaz of the Sefer Torah. We rely on the Shita Sama Iri, but Siru of the Chumash Rambam, that you're allowed to lane even out of Apostle Sefer Torah. So at the time, that was the psach that I gave. You know, again, obviously I didn't give the soul Shia quality in the middle of Kriyas Torah. When the Rav in the Shul asked me, you know, quickly, what would I do in this case? I just waved them on it and took a look at Sefer Torah and thought a little bit about it. And then, just keep on going. Zozayim, we're relying, in a sense, on the combination of the Iri and the Chumash. So the reason why I cannot forget this story was it was a fascinating follow-up to the story. I think here, I think some of the Paramus Chavra will appreciate this even more. This happened in Parshas Pinchas. It happened in the summertime. So in the summers, I used to be in California at the time. Many summers used to run the summer column in California in those years. So I was in California, and this shaila happened. It wasn't the regular shul that I usually davened at in Shabbos in California. It was a different shul that I'm speaking at that Shabbos. So it was one of the shuls in LA. And that was a psach that again, I gave. I was quoting Rav Moshe, Rav Yaakov, quoting the Gedolei Poskim, that one would be permitted to continue the lane based on this. So Maisa Shoya Kachoya. The next morning, Sunday morning, I called up the young Rav who was taking my place that summer in Paramus. He was the summer rabbi at the time. And I called him and I asked him, how did Shabbos go? Everything went okay. He said, yeah, Baruch Hashem, everything went well, except one little glitch went wrong. Said, what happened? What was the problem? So he said, there was a potential mistake in the Sefer Torah. I said, wow, that's fascinating. What happened? Tell me the Shaila. How did you deal with it? What happened? So he said to me, there was a Vav, I kid you not. You know, those who know me, a Rebbe, I'm not. Said there was a crack in a Vav. And he said, and it wasn't the Vav of Shalom that's supposed to be cracked. Somehow, most of it turned from East Coast to West Coast, it started to be cracked in Vav that Shabbos in Pashas Pinchas, long ago. So he said to me that there was a crack in the letter in a Vav in the Sefer Torah. So I started to shake, I started to get the goosebumps. He said, so what did you pass? Could you not a paskin that since there's a machlekes and rishonim, whether the letters kosher the way it is, and since the Chumash Rambam says that you're allowed to lay with the apostle for Torah, so that's fake. I thought that was an acceptable enough sach to continue laying. I said, Baruch Shekivanta. I said, I gave the exact same sach in California. Now, I could have turned around to the other Paramus and said, you see, I was away on vacation, but I was still passing the shailas, but based on the time zone, so it happened in Paramus 3 hours before it happened in California. So he must have brought the psak down from Shemayim in Paramus. So even though I wasn't in Paramus that Shabbos, I passed in the same shot in California, they passed in Paramus. Then, I couldn't hold back, I guess, even though I'm not such a Chassidish, but my background, my biological background, my grandparents all came from Chassidish stock. So I guess the heebie-jeebies got into me, and I asked them the following question, shaking and shaking, which Vav was it? If it would have been the same Vav, I would have just thrown up my hands and said, I'm no longer a litvak. But sorry to tell you, it wasn't the same. Ad kidei ka'acha, v'abal moifes amnah, was another definitely a different part of the parasha. But it's still a good story anyway. So the bottom line is, I still think the Pesach is correct, that splits and the vavs are v'diyevin, okay, and you continue to wane. So again, it's a strange thing that happened in Parshas Pinchas, which is a parasha that some people get all tits about split vav. But the vav in the beginning of the parasha is supposed to get tits about, not supposed to get tits about, but the vav later on could potentially be a problem. But I think that all the background could help us with that as well. So the bottom line is, whenever you have shadows in terms of Chizkiya Satayra, so a good thing to keep in the back of your mind is, if you can find, in a sense, a reliable sheet that holds that kosher the way it is, that's always a good way to kind of enable you to rely, at least with the evidence, those we shall say, that a Chizkiya Satayra doesn't require an absolute kosher. Okay?
Why not get another Sefer Torah if there's one available and read Behidur?
Oh, so that's a good. So the post can point out that it's always a little bit, it's like a little bit of bizarre to the Sefer Torah to put it away, to wrap it up, put it away. So if you have to do it, you have to do it. But if it's not really necessary to do it, so we don't want to go run to do that. So that's why we shy away from doing that. But that was a little tip. The Tzibur is embarrassing. So we try to shy away from doing that if unless it's absolutely critical, absolutely necessary. Okay. Okay, good.
So, ready? Yeah. Doesn't it seem like in the Taz that you could just, even if it's a cracked letter, you could just cover the bottom of the letter to...
Yeah. You can do that, right. According to the Taz, if you cover that bottom, then you'll be okay, right? Right, then it won't mislead the child, right? Correct. Right.
Okay, thanks.
Okay, good. Be well. Okay.
Ready?
Yeah.
Would I be able to ask a couple of questions?
Yeah.
The first question is on the way that the Gemara read the Mishnah and Menachos, right at the beginning, that if either parsha in the mezuzah is missing, it's pasul. And the Gemara learned that out about being a chiddush about mukaf kvil.
Right.
How does the Gemara read that into the Mishnah?
Oh, I mean, ksav echad ma'akvan. So ksav echad doesn't mean a letter missing. It means a letter is ma'akid. So it means a letter that's not written with the hilchas letters, which one of those Uchas letters is Mukhav Gvil. Now, it's not clear for the Gemara how the Chazali, the new Mukhav Gvil is a problem. The Gemara never asked the question, what's the marker for Mukhav Gvil? So Tyson Gitt and Wright, the marker is Ksiva Tama. That's also detracts from the perfectness of the letter. If the letter's infringing on another letter's airspace, so that's not considered to be each letter its own perfection. That's also concerned with Ksiva Tama. Okay. Very good.
And Rebbe said that if you found a psul that's a machlokas, then midirabanan we can be mekil. But midiraisa, would you have to be machmir? Like, would you have to repeat parshat zachor?
Oh, so if you had a mistake in a letter for a parshat zachor type of things, that would be a little bit more serious.
No, I mean, Nagida, we said parshat zachor, and 2 weeks later we're reading the parsha, and nimtza, there's a psul somewhere else.
That's a general parsha zochah question, how much you really need to see. But talking about parsha zochah, that's not 100% clear. But the evid, you have to go back. I don't know. Not sure about that one. I think about that one. Okay.
And one more thing about Shuta Rambam. The Rambam Mishnah Torah. The Rambam Mishnah Torah, I said, Nifsika Tzura Achat, so that it's unreadable. Right? Mashma, that if it's readable, that...
So the Rambam doesn't address this issue of having one unit. It's not clear what the Rambam would hold about the Machlokes and the Iri and the others. The Rambam doesn't say one way or the other. Maybe the Rambam holds it's kosher, because the Rambam doesn't mention Pasul, so everything's kosher proven Pasul. So it could be that the Rambam doesn't buy into this whole Chumash HaRishayim, that it has to be one unit, right? It's possible. Okay. You have to look carefully at the Rambam's Nukos Tefillin. I don't remember exactly what the Rambam says. Okay?
Thank you, Rabbi.
Okay, good. That should be good. Be well.